Well, there's been a major breakthrough in breast cancer research. A team of international scientists looking at the genetics of breast cancer have found the disease should really be regarded as 10 separate diseases rather than just one. They say their findings could provide more targeted treatment and help predict a patient's chances of survival. Dr. Sam Aparicio is the co-author of this new study, which could potentially benefit millions of women into the future. He's also the chair of breast cancer research at the BC, British Columbia Cancer Agency. He joined you from Vancouver this morning. Sam, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Why is this so significant? Can you explain that to us?
Well, it's really the largest survey of the genetic aberrations that happen in breast cancers. We looked at some 2,000 cancers, 2,000 breast cancers, and looked at the larger scale mutations that happen on chromosomes that alter the structure of chromosomes and the way that influences the genes. What that's allowed us to do is to pinpoint specific regions of the genome, which in turn has allowed us to look at the number of biological groupings that breast cancer may become, and this is where we arrived at the conclusion that we could see at least 10 subgroups in our data.
And this changes the way we look at breast cancer? We've been tending to lump it into sort of one cancer with two types of treatment that might work for it. Is that right?
Breast cancer has been regarded as maybe two or three subtypes up until now, and that is based on the treatment options available. So we know about the hormone receptor positive forms of breast cancer, and they respond to anti-estrogen type therapies, and the other major group is the HER2 amplified or HER2 cancers, which respond to trastuzumab, a drug also known as Herceptin. And then there are the cancers that don't express either of those, and those are really the main subtypes that we've known about. But now we can see that there are really more subdivisions within those.
And that brings to the conclusion, as one of your colleagues has described it, that breast cancer really becomes an umbrella term for a much larger number of diseases.
Yeah, that's right. It's an umbrella term. It's the site of origin where we see those cancers. But, of course, the cancers look genetically different. And we're learning just how many genetic differences we really can see between these cancers.
What does the implications of this are, of course, not just identifying that there are these different cancers, but how to deal with them, how to treat them. What are the implications of this in terms of treatment?
Well, the very immediate implications, this isn't immediately going to alter the way that treatment happens, but what it is doing is it's directing our attention at certain subtypes. For example, we found that there are subgroups of the estrogen receptor positive cancers, which normally have quite a good prognosis, but there are some patients for whom that's not true, and we can see that those cancers form a distinct subgroup. But now, beyond that, we can see which genes appear to be associated with that behavior, and so that's really going to lead us to use that information to both test whether new drugs that are being trialed will be effective, and it's also leading us in different directions with respect to drug discovery.
So it's likely to lead to the discovery of more drugs that can be sort of pinpointed at these different genetic types and changes.
Yeah, that's right. It gives us a kind of a roadmap. It's a genetic encyclopedia, if you will, which gives us a roadmap on where to go next with the drug discovery effort.
This has been described as a landmark study, a landmark finding. Is this what you went hunting for? Did you have a suspicion of this when you were part of the team that looked at these frozen breast cancer samples from 2,000 women?
I think we've always suspected that breast cancer was really multiple diseases. And the issue being that we haven't really had the techniques to look at the very highest level of resolution. And indeed, this study of 2,000 cancers will be followed up in detail. We and other groups are following this up by sequencing these cancers at extraordinary level of resolution to see exactly how many mutations every cancer contains.
Will you be continuing this research, refining this research further, or is it all over now to those who deal with the proper treatments of breast cancer? Are you involved in that too? Where do you expect this to go now?
We're certainly taking the discoveries of the genes that we found in the different subgroups into early drug discovery to try and find ways of targeting those cancers. And we're also trying to learn, it's thrown up one or two conundrums. We've noticed that there's a group of breast cancers that when we looked at them with this form of genetic analysis don't actually seem to have many mutations, and it's a little more mysterious as to what's driving those cancers. So that's going to need some further work to research into those by sequencing the cancers.
Dr. Aparicio, I know it's very hard for you to predict this, but it's such a massive killer of women in particular, but not just women. How quickly do you expect this breakthrough in research to translate into falling rates of breast cancer, or better, cure rates, rather, of breast cancer?
Well, that is very hard to predict, but I think that the information that we're taking forward into clinical trials context will unfold over the next 3 to 4 years. And if those gene markers turn out to be predictive for therapies, if that gives us a better chance of predicting therapy, then that's really the time window in which we'd be looking at this.
Well, congratulations on this breakthrough research, and good luck with the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Sam Aparicio is professor at the Faculty of Medicine at the University of British Columbia, co-author of this study on breast cancer. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 21 minutes to 9.